Good morning, friends, to one and all. I'm certainly happy to be coming your way once again with a short gospel message. And I hope you'll stay tuned to this station for the next few moments because I have something that I believe will be interesting and profitable for you. First, to begin with, listen to this scripture in Isaiah 57 and beginning with verse 20. But the wicked, or like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Now, here we see how the Lord likens the life of a wicked person. It just doesn't pay to live this way because they're like the troubled sea. Have you ever been to the ocean? Have you ever noticed how the waves are rocking and rolling and they're breaking on the shore there continually, one after another? One will break and splash upon the shore, and here will come another right behind it. And so this is the way it is with the wicked person. He's not satisfied. He's looking for something. He's restless. He's searching for something which he doesn't seem to find. The wicked are like the troubled sea. Well, the sea is used in this way to parallel the life of a wicked person, and yet there's something about the ocean that's attractive and interesting, and I like to go to the seashore. It's very interesting. But oh, I tell you, it means something to have the peace of God within your soul. I'm thinking of a poet back in England a good many years ago, was born August the 6th, 1809, and died October the 9th, 1892. Alfred Lord Tennyson. And he was very brilliant young man. He went to Cambridge University. In fact, he met a person up there, Arthur Hallam, and he became close friend with him for years. But as he wrote poems and began to gain recognition, this Arthur Hallam died suddenly. And that was, of course, in 18 and, let's see here, 1833. So Alfred Lord Tennyson would be in his early 20s. But this affected him considerably. And I wonder, perhaps you've heard this poem that he wrote about the ocean and how it affected his life. No doubt, the book that he later came out with was a number of years following the death of this friend. So no doubt it must have been, his life must have been greatly affected by this friend. But he wrote this poem, which has certainly gone down in history, Break, Break, Break. It sounds like he must have been to the shore, the ocean shore there. Break, break, break on thy cold gray stones, O sea. And I would that my tongue could utter the thoughts that arise in me. Oh, well for the fisherman's boy that he shouts with his sister at play. Oh, well for the sailor lad that he sings in his boat on the bay. And the stately ships go on and the haven to the haven under the hill. But oh, for the touch of a vanished hand and the sound of a voice that is still. Break, break, break at the foot of thy crags, O sea, but the tender grace of a day that is dead will never come back to me. So there was something about the ways of the ocean which affected Alfred Lord Tennyson, and it recalled, no doubt, his friend and the days that were gone. Oh, dear ones, I tell you, if we could so live our life as we began here early in youth and manhood and womanhood, whichever is the case, if we could so live that we'll have no regrets when we come to the end of the way, it'll be worth so much. It'll not be like the troubled sea, but it'll be peaceful and calm. Here's a poem which says, which road? If you could go back to the forks of the road, back to the long miles you have carried the load, back to the place where you had to decide by this way or that through your life to abide. Back of the sorrow and back of the care, back to the place where the future was fair. If you were there now, a decision to make, O pilgrim of sorrow, which road would you take? Then, after you had trodden the other long track, suppose that again to the forks you went back. After you found that its promises fair were but a delusion that led to a snare, that the road you first traveled with sighs and unrest, though dreary and rough, was most graciously blessed with balm for each bruise and a charm for each ache. O pilgrim of sorrow, which road would you take? I think that ought to stir something within each soul to decide that if they had it to do over, and I hope that we'll not have it to do over, that we'll make the right choice in the first place, but if they had it to do over, surely we'd want to go back to the road that God's finger would mark out for us, the path that He would have us go. In Psalms chapter 89, and beginning with verse 6, "For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto Thee, or to Thy faithfulness round about Thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, Thou stillest them." Oh, friends, it's worth something to know that the God of the universe, the ruler of heaven and earth and the sea, is by our side, guiding, directing. And when the waves roll and the sea is boisterous, the Lord can speak peace to the troubled soul and give rest in the time of sorrow. I'm glad for that. Skipping down to verse 11, this same chapter of Psalms, "The heavens are Thine, the earth also is Thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, Thou hast founded them." So I tell you that the God that we serve is the God of the universe. Going on down to verse 15 now, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of Thy countenance. In Thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in Thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For Thou art the glory of their strength, and in Thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King." Well, that's wonderful. I'm glad that we're serving the God of the universe, the God of the sea and the land. Then going down to chapter 93 in the Psalms, beginning with verse 4, listen, "The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh Thine house, O Lord, forever." Wonderful to serve the Lord, isn't it? I've never been to Niagara Falls. Perhaps some of you have. But I understand that the roar of the water as it rolls over those rocks and drops down across those falls is tremendous. It's deafening. The roar of many waters. Well, I want to tell you that the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. I have seen the sea and seen the waves rolling. In fact, I remember once when Brother Harlan Smith and myself and others were on the way down into Mexico, we spent the night one time along the shores there of the Pacific, and we just bunked out there right near the ocean. We could hear the waves rolling all night, and as the waves rolled up on the rocks and all, it was a restful feeling, and yet it was one that just continually on and on and on. And now, again, here in Psalms, the 139th Psalm in verse 9 and 10, "If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Well, now, that'd certainly be a comforting thing, wouldn't it, to know that the Lord is guiding and leading us, and His hand is round about us. I like that. I appreciate the guiding hand of the Lord. And so, friends, I hope that you will just make your choice to be led by the great hand of God. And as we travel this pilgrim pathway here, on land or on sea, that God will be your guide and mine. There's a little more to this story about Alfred Lord Tennyson, which I'd like to share with you. Certainly you may be familiar with this crossing the bar. But one of these days, friends, our earthly pilgrim on this shore will be finished, and we'll go out to cross into the great beyond. It is written of him, I quote, "As Tennyson's nurse was sitting one day at his bedside, sharing to a degree the general anxiety about the patient, she said to him suddenly, 'You have written a great many poems, sir, but I have never heard anybody say that there is a hymn among them all. I wish you would write a hymn while you are lying on your sick bed. It might help and comfort many a poor sufferer.' The next morning, when the nurse had taken her quiet place at the bedside, the poet handed her a scrap of paper, saying, 'Here is the hymn you wish me to write.' She took it from his hands with expressions of gratified thanks. It proved to be Crossing the Bar, the poem that was sung in Westminster Abbey at Tennyson's funeral, and which has touched so many hearts. Now, would you like to hear? Sunset and evening star, and the one clear call from me, and may there be no moaning of the bar when I put out to sea. But such a tide as moving seems asleep, too full for sound and foam, when that which drew from out the boundless deep turns again home. Twilight and evening bell, and after that the dark, and may there be no sadness of farewell when I embark. For though from out our bourne of time and place the flood may bear me far, I hope to see my pilot face to face when I have crossed the bar." Alfred Tennyson. Our Father, bless the message to the good of every listener, and thine shall be the praise, in Jesus' name. Thank you, friends, for a few moments of your time. Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.